Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to open up to the New Testament, Mark chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 to 8. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
I always thought that Advent calendars with chocolates behind those little doors were the best kind. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen carefully. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Read this day into our world with its daily reminders of war, terrorism, economic distress, political unrest, even in Canada, and environmental concern. Read today into this Advent season of waiting and preparing. Listen to two comments about Advent. The first is from Weavings, a journal of Christian spiritual living. Vigilance is the posture of Advent. When the soul is bent forward in anticipation of the one who is to come. Listen to that again. Vigilance is the spiritual posture of Advent. When the soul is bent forward in anticipation of the one who is to come. The second is from Madeleine L'Engle. This is the irrational season, when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there would have been no room for the child. I love that. Had Mary been filled with reason, there would have been no room for the child. We have four Sundays in Advent, now three, to try and follow what John the Baptist reminds us of, to do during Advent, to prepare for the one who is to come, and to wait for his coming. How do we do this? Well, some suggestions and comments. The candles that we light each week remind us that we wait. Not only do they remind us that we wait, but as these weeks unfold, they can help us build a sense of joyful anticipation of the one who is to come. Because we do know who has come. So Advent is not only a season of preparation and waiting, it is also a season that is full of what I want to call joyful anticipation. Because we already know who we are waiting for. He has come. And he is named by John the Baptist in this passage. Jesus, the Son of God, one who is good news, one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, in contrast to John's water baptism, and one who John feels unworthy to do the most menial task for, untying his sandals. The flame of each of these candles as we light them can also reassure us in what may seem like dark times that the light has come and the dark has never and will never put it out. That is a sign of hope that can sustain us throughout every day, no matter what each of our days are like. A question for us. As you listen to the passage in Mark, has it become so familiar to us that it no longer touches us? Do I or do we shrug and say, oh yes, we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, and then we carry on with the long list of things that we have to do? Can we find time to reread it? Go back into Isaiah, amongst other Old Testament passages, and read the prophecies about his coming. Listen to Malachi 3. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Because I needed to be reminded that this is not just John's story. It was foretold, and we can read about that in the Old Testament. Could you read it aloud as a family or a group? A different version each time. Could you ponder and reflect on it using the Lectio Divina style that we went through in a recent service? Now, if you're like me and you've forgotten exactly how to do it, I'm sure if you ask that Ryan or Anne would refresh our memories. Could you read it in a different form? For example, the book The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, which beautifully captures the wonder of the birth that we await to be reminded of. Can we find time during this Advent season to reflect on our own lives? John called people to come out into the wilderness to be baptized for repentance and as a sign of forgiveness. This is not a call for each of us to head out into the mountains. The key is to remember that for Israel, some of their closest times with God were during their passage through the wilderness after the exodus from Egypt. So it is a call to return to a renewed commitment to God, to clean up what needs to be cleaned up in our lives, and to use an old-fashioned word that we may be uncomfortable with, to repent. Any dislike or discomfort with that word, repent, needs to be held up against the clear message that forgiveness is given freely, richly, extravagantly. Listen to Isaiah 40. It was read to us a little earlier this morning. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. Her penalty is paid. That's the kind of forgiveness that God offers to us. Can we not open our hands and our hearts to receive this gift from God this Advent? Can we find moments to pray during this season? Now, please note that I said moments, not hours. If you find the moments, the longer periods of time will take care of themselves. I've been volunteering in the office Tuesdays and Fridays, and one of my jobs on Friday is to set up the sanctuary for worship. I had to learn to put the numbers for the hymns on both sides, which I forgot the first time I did it. But I did decide that in that context, it was a time when it's very quiet in here, there's no one else here, I could perhaps spend a bit of time praying. Well, the first Friday, I thought about it, but didn't do it. The second Friday, I lasted about 2 minutes. The third Friday, I lasted about 5. Now, I'm hoping for a little longer next week. But that's the way it goes. Start with the moments, and the longer times will take care of themselves. I also thought that perhaps you can find time, or I can find time, as I drive, as I walk, or as I ride to work each day. Can you find time as you fold the laundry, which is, I might say, a mindless task that many of us do? Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the music, and find a few moments to pray. Listen to Maggie Ross, a contributing writer to Weavings. The carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, states the problem with devastating clarity. Now, you have a green insert in your bulletin, and on one side are the words to that carol. So follow along with me. Verse 3. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song that they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. We need stillness and quiet to hear the angels sing their great song of hope and love. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. We need stillness and peace as we wait and prepare to be reminded yet again that we celebrate his birth. Perhaps that can happen here each Sunday. Take a moment to close your eyes, to still your heart and your mind, and reflect on who we wait for. The carol does go on to encourage us in two ways. Look at verses 4 and 5. The first encouragement is that the author of the song will come again. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful step and slow. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendor fling, and the whole earth send back the song which now the angels sing. The second encouragement is that the song has never stopped and will never stop. Look at verse 2. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. The song has never stopped. It is here to sustain us and, yes, encourage us and give us hope. It will be here today and tomorrow, in the midst of whatever our lives are and hold. This is a love song this season from God, if we can but hear it. A love song, if we can but hear it. Turn over your green bulletin and let us read together an Advent prayer from Scott Cairns. As this season of preparation continues, may we make the most of every moment, that despite the roar of our days, our hearts might grow still, that glimpsing the quiet cove, we may seek you in stillness, that resting in your presence, our hearts might be prepared to hear you, that the angel of God might say to us, rejoice, that we might hear and truly respond in joy, that the angel of God might say to us, receive, that the servant of God might respond, let it be as you say. As the season of incarnation approaches, as we prepare to receive life himself, may we taste and see how our own lives, the life of the world, and the very breath of the universe flow to us from the Holy One made flesh. Lord, hear our prayer.